بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We'd like to begin this section on this noble book called Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Imam Al-Bukhari
رحمه الله.
And this book is not Sahih Al-Bukhari. It is not Sahih Al-Bukhari. It is a separate book that among the books that Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi al-Hasan Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn al-Mughira ibn al-Ahnaf and also called ibn Makula, which is Bardizbah al-Ja'fi al-Bukhari al-Hafiz al-Imam bi ilm al-Hadith wrote. Inshallah. If we want to get a further explanation of Imam al-Bukhari's life, there are a number of books that have been written and translated into English or written in English on Imam al-Bukhari's life. There's also a set of tapes on the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari by our brother in Islam, Abu Usama Khalifa Abd al-Rahman al-Zahabi al-Salafi. Abu Usama has done explanation of al-Bukhari. He started from the beginning, and it's so far, I think it's about 12 tapes. And he started from the very beginning, and he, in the first two tapes and a half, I believe he gave the explanation of al-Bukhari's life. And I believe our brother in Islam, Abu Muslima, Abdullah Tawfiq al-Salafi, has also done the Aqidah of Imam al-Bukhari. So if anyone who wants to get some information about that, about Imam al-Bukhari, they can refer to those tapes. As for the books that Imam al-Bukhari has written, one of them is called Al-Jami'u al-Sahih, which is known better as Sahih al-Bukhari. Alright? We know that this is the most authentic book after the Qur'an. After Al-Qur'an. Right? Another book that Imam Al-Bukhari wrote is called At-Tariq Al-Kabir. The Major History. At-Tariq Al-Kabir. And this history book is on the methodology of Hadith, from the Hadith scholars. So you have this is a sphere book, a history book, but by way of hadith. He used the same methodology that he used in al-Bukhari on this book of history. And they sell this book down the street in Atlantic Avenue. In Arabic, yes. They sell this book at Mecca. At-Tariq al-Kabir. Right. He put all the thiqat in there and the du'afa. All the trustworthy people and all the weak people. In one book. Another book by al-Bukhari is called At-Tariq al-Awsat, the middle tariq. It's the smaller version than the big one. And then that one, he's narrating, Abdullah ibn Ahmed ibn Abd al-Salam is narrating from him. Alright? Also, Imam al-Bukhari wrote a book called At-Tariq al-Saghir. This is a book dealing with the Rijal of the Hadith, the men of the Hadith. It's a small one, dealing with something else though. It's dealing with the Rijal, the men of the Hadith. Then Imam al-Bukhari wrote a book called Al-Du'afa'u al-Saghir, the minor one dealing with the weak people. Right? That's concerning the Rawi in the Hadith, the Ruwat. Right? Then he did another one called Al-Tawariq wal-Ansab. This is the history book. This is dealing with some of the important pieces of information and important aspects of history. Then he wrote a book called Kitab al-Kunna, and this, to the best of my memory, is dealing with kunyas. Books on kunyas, people of the past by their kunyas. Then he wrote the book which is in front of you, Bayna Aydikum, called Al-Adab al-Mufrad. This particular book. And Al-Adab al-Mufrad has, let me look, see what's the last number of the hadith in it. Has 1,360 hadith. 1,360 hadith. Yes, 1,360 hadith. And this particular book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, has both Sahih and Da'if in them. Right? And then we have our Shaykh, the Muhaddith of this century, Abu Abd al-Rahman, Nasruddin al-Albani. He did Sahih Al-Adab al-Mufrad and Da'if Al-Adab al-Mufrad, where he went through Al-Adab al-Mufrad by the permission and power and strength of Allah and a mercy on us, and he separated all the hadith that was Sahih and Al-Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad and the Da'if, and we have the Sahih Al-Adab al-Mufrad right here. And then we have the book by the illustrious scholar from India, I believe, whose name was Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail, excuse me, Fadlullah al-Jilani. Fadlullah al-Jilani. He's a famous scholar, I think he was from India, if my memory serves me correctly. I believe he was from India, if my memory serves me correctly. I don't see it. Maybe we kind of stuck together here. But anyway, he wrote this book called Fadlullah al-Samad fi tawdih al-adab al-mufrad. The excellence of Allah who is al-Samad in the explanation of al-adab al-mufrad, which is in two volumes. This is the explanation. These two books is the explanation of this small book. These two books. The explanation of this smaller book by Imam al-Bukhari. And we also have approximately 45 tapes from Shaykh al-Albani himself explaining Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Alright? So Allah has blessed us. Alhamdulillah. We are going to begin, because we're only doing excerpts of this book, we're going to begin with the bab, the section of Al-Utaq. Al-Utas, sneezing. This is hadith number 706 in Al-Albani's Sahih Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Alright. Section number 414. It is number 706 in Sheikh Al-Albani's Sahih Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and it begins
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم قال إن الله يحب العطاة ويكره التثاؤب فإذا عطس فحمد الله فحق على كل مسلم سمعه أن يشمته وأما التثاؤب فإنما هو من الشيطان.
And then in parenthesis, فإذا تثاءب أحدكم فليرده ما استطاع فإذا قال ضحك منه الشيطان. Surely Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is reported from him that he said, surely Allah loves sneezing. Al-Utaf. Al-Utaf. Al-Utaf is sneezing, and it's spelled Aleph Lam Ain Ta Aleph Seen. Al-Utaf with a dhamma on the Ain and a fatha on the ta. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-utasa wa yakrahu at-tathaub. Surely Allah loves sneezing and he hates yawning.
and he hates yawning. فَإِذَا عَطَسَ, and if he sneezes, meaning if someone sneezes, فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ, and then he praises Allah, then it is obligatory on every Muslim who hears him to respond to him. And as for yawning, then this is from a shaytan. And the narration says in the parenthesis that when any one of you yawns, then let him repel it or suppress it as much as he's able. And if he says, Shaytan laughs at him. Okay. How do we begin this particular section on yawning and sneezing? We begin this particular section on yawning and sneezing from a statement from Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, where he said, لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعٌ. He said, if your love was truthful, you would have obeyed him. For surely the one who is loved, the one who loves him, obeys. This is the way we begin. In other words, if we really say we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we would obey him. Because the proof of the pudding in the, that you love the one that you love, that you claim you love, is your obedience to him. That's the proof. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمْ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you really love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will forgive you of your sins. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. So in this particular hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, surely Allah loves sneezing, the first thing that should come to our mind is that we should love sneezing also. Right? First thing that comes to our minds is that we should love sneezing also. Why? Because we love what Allah loves. The second thing that comes to our mind is when it says, وَيَكْرَهُ التَّثَاؤُبُ, that he hates التَّثَاؤُبُ, and the spelling of التَّثَاؤُبُ, or yawning, is Aleph, Lam, Ta, Tha, Aleph, Wow with the Hamza over it, then back. التثاؤب. Aleph, Lam, Ta, Tha, Aleph. Wow with the Hamza, and then Ba. Allahumma sayyib al-nafi'an, Allahumma sayyib al-nafi'an, Allahumma sayyib al-nafi'an. Okay. So the first thing that should come to our minds is that Allah loves us, because we should love what Allah loves. Because if we love what Allah loves, we also would be loving that which Jibreel loves. We know this from other narrations. Because when Allah loves something or someone, He tells Jibreel to love that thing or love that person. And we know naturally, logically, aqliyan, from our aql, that if Allah loves something, Jibreel is going to love it. And if Jibreel loves something, Mikael is going to love it. If Mikael loves it, then the other angels love it. And if the angels love it, then the prophets and messengers loved it. And if the prophets and messengers loved it, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the best of them, loved it. And if the Messenger of Allah loved it, then the believers of the past loved it. The Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Itba'u Tabi'een. And all those who follow their way, all the way up into us sitting in this masjid, that we should follow suit. And if Allah hates it, then the same thing. Alright? We should also, what comes to our mind, if Allah loves it, from what we know from the principles of the Sharia, that is something good for us. Whether we understand it or not. Whether we understand it or not, if Allah loves it, it's good for you. Either A, in this life, B, in the next life, or C, both. Right? And if Allah hates it, then it has to be something bad. Whether you understand it or not, A, in this life, B, in the next life, or C, in both. Both lives, that is. Alright? That's one of the first things we gain from this hadith. The second thing we gain from this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ is now instructing us, saying that when any one of you sneezes, فحمد الله, and then says praises Allah, and then praises Allah, فحق على كل مسلم سمعه أن يشمته, then it is the obligation of every Muslim who hears what? Who hears the hamd, who hears the praise. He might not hear the sneeze so much, it may be faint, which we're going to come to, inshallah, on how should the person sneeze. How should that person sneeze? Right? What is the effort that the person in sneezing should put forth? Why? Why? Because, why? This is something important. Because if it's something that Allah loves, this is important. Right? Okay. Alright. So this is something that we should notice. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that when the person sneezes and then praises Allah, then everyone among the Muslims who hears, he should make tashmid. Make tashmid. Yushammitahu and yushammitahu. He should make tashmid. Okay, one of the points that's really important is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if and when the person sneezes, فحمد الله, and then praises Allah. This fa here, this fa, is the fa of subsequent. Subsequent. In other words, the person is going to praise Allah subsequently, or subsequent, or following the sneeze. He's not going to feel the sneeze, alhamdulillah, achoo, and praise Allah before he sneezes. He sneezes and then he praises Allah. That's one of the points that we want to make. The other thing is that listen to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement was that إذا عطس, if he sneezes, فحمد الله, then he praises Allah. Stop right there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a statement, فحمد الله. He made the statement and praises Allah. Why didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Why didn't he add anything to that statement to praise Allah? What I mean by that is that why did the Prophet leave it as in praises Allah? Why did he explain how you praise Allah? Because there's different ways to praise Allah.
And the answer is,
that's the reason. Because there's
more than one way to praise Allah when you sneeze.
So the Prophet made a general statement and then he praises Allah. Because there's three other ways, or four different ways, and Allah knows best, three or four ways to praise Allah when you sneeze. There's not just one way, as most of us have learned,
to just say Alhamdulillah.
No, there's some other ways. So the Prophet just left it general by saying, and he praises Allah. Meaning, he praises Allah in any of the authentically reported, prescribed ways to praise Allah. Alright? Anyone that he chooses. Then, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَحَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ سَمِعَهُ. It is the right and responsibility, not right, but it is the obligation on every Muslim who hears.
He is who?
He is him,
meaning male and female,
Arab or non-Arab. And yushammitahu,
that he should respond with tashmit.
He should make the tashmit. This tells us, in conjunction with the other narration, that this response
is what?
Fard'ain or Fard'kifayah? Fard'ain.
Whoever,
فَحَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. It is the responsibility on every Muslim. On every Muslim who hears him.
So now that means, if the brother is in the back there in the office, and I say,
achoo! Alhamdulillah.
And he didn't hear me,
is he responsible for responding? He's not responsible. He's only responsible for
what he hears.
Let's give another scenario.
This tape that we're making right now on the adab of sneezing and yawning.
If this tape is sent to
Hong Kong,
and the Muslims are listening to it in a masjid in Hong Kong, and I, in the middle of this class, say,
"Achoo!
Alhamdulillah."
Do they have to respond?
The answer for the young akhi here, my young brother Saleh, is yes. Why?
Because they heard me.
Because they heard me. Right? If I'm dead and gone, may Allah give me long life in Islam and let me die in Iman. In all of us. Ameen. If I die, and this tape reaches Mecca, and the brothers are listening to it, and they heard me sneeze, do they have to respond?
If they heard me.
If they heard me say Alhamdulillah, they have to respond. Okay. The proof that it's upon every Muslim that it's fard kifayah, a fard ain, as Fadlullah al-Jilani, the explainer of this particular book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he says, لِأَنَّهُ جَاءَ بِاللَّفْظِ الْوُجُوبِ الصَّرِيحِ وَبِاللَّفْظِ الْحَقِّ الدَّالُ عَلَيْهِ وَبِاللَّفْظِ عَلَى الظَّاهِرَةُ فِيهِ وَبِصِيغَةِ الْأَمْرِ الَّتِي هِيَ حَقِيقَةٌ فِيهِ وبقول الصحابة الصحابي أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, because the expression that is used is clearly obligatory. وبلفظ الحق, because the statement حق, فحق, because the Prophet used that statement فحق, that means it's an أمر. That means it's an أمر على كل مسلم. The obvious appearance of this
is sighatul amr, that it is a commandment,
which shows in reality that it is obligatory. And then we have also the statement of one of the companions who says, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam ordered us to do this. And there are some of the people of the past and of the present who said that it's not obligatory for every Muslim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Some of them say that it is fard kifaya, and Ibn Rushd, and Ibn al-Arabi from the Malikiyas, they say that the strongest of the opinion, also some of the Hanafiya and the Hanabila, they say that that it is fard kifaya. But Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar says, وَهُوَ الرَّاجِحُ مِنْ حَيْثُ الدَّلِيلِ,
that it is fard ain.
And this is the strongest of opinions by way of the evidence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yushammitahu, that he should respond,
the respond here is just like the statement, the praise of Allah. Because the response is also more than one. The response is also more than one response. The person can praise Allah according to those authentic narrations, and the person who's responding can also respond to the sneezer, the atis, and according to the authentic narrations.
Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَمَّا التَّثَاؤُبُ,
and as for yawning,
فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, this is from a shaytan.
What does this mean?
That is from shaytan. This means that shaytan loves
the yawn.
يُحِبُّهُ.
يُحِبُّ what?
يُحِبُّ أَن يَرَعَ الْإِنسَانَ مُتَثَائِبًا لِكَيْ تَتَشَوَّهُ صُورَتُهُ فَيَضْحَكُ مِنْهُ.
The reason why the shaytan loves the yawn is because he likes to see the person who's yawning, because when the person is yawning, his face becomes disfigured. This is the reason. So this is what makes him laugh.
Why?
It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being most definitely in the best of modes. In another narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prophet said, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ عَلَى سُورَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ, that Allah created Adam on the form of Allah, Ar-Rahman. On the form of Ar-Rahman. On Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's form. In another narration, which is authentic, and some of the people say that form, that hadith is not authentic, that he created him on the form of Adam himself, on the human being. Nonetheless, Allah has honored Karrama Bani Adam. He has honored the son of Adam, Ibn Adam, the children of Adam. And because he has honored the children of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our face the most beautiful of faces that he created. It's more beautiful than the ant's face, than the monkey's face, than the face of a clock. There's nothing that is, whose face is more beautiful. No more beautiful than the face of a human being. So because,
wa alaykum salam,
because Allah has created us in the best of moods, when we yawn, our faces become disfigured. The face becomes, you know, contorted and distorted. So shaitan loves to see this, because Allah created a human being in the best of moods. When he yawns or when she yawns, their face becomes disfigured. Shaitan likes this. So dahika minhu, he laughs. He laughs.
And we're going to end it here and come back inshallah for the salah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We left off on the subject of yawning, sneezing and yawning, from this book by Imam al-Bukhari, from the book entitled Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and the section of Al-Utas on sneezing. And we mentioned that before we broke for salah, that the reason why shaitan laughs at the, likes the yawning, that the yawning comes from shaitan, is because he likes it, because he likes to see the individual, when they yawn, their features become distorted. When a person yawns, his face becomes distorted. So shaitan likes to see the person, the human being's face become distorted. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being on the best of molds. As Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Surely we have created the human being in the best of molds. So when the person yawns, especially when they don't obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course they're not obeying Allah by not obeying the Prophet, and they don't cover their mouths, and they just let their... They let their faces become distorted, shaitan laughs at them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَأَمَّا التَّثَاؤُفُ, as for yawning, فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, this is from a shaitan. It's from shaitan, meaning that shaitan loves it. This is what it means. فَلْيَرُدَّهُ فَلْيَرُدَّهُ مَسْتَطَاعَ, then he should suppress it or repel it as much as he or she is able. فَلْيَرُدَّهُ, he should repel it or suppress it. And what this means كَذَم. This is كَذَم. كَذَمُ التَّثَاؤُب means to cover it or to suppress it or to subdue it. To subdue it as much as possible so that the person's face doesn't become distorted, so that shaitan will not laugh at the person. And as the young brother Saleh, Jazahullah Kulla Khairan, just mentioned, for those brothers who heard what he said shaitan also, in another narration, goes inside of you. The person doesn't cover their mouths, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that shaitan goes inside of them, to the point that we're going to see as we go on, that even in the salah, which is more beloved to ash-shaytan, shaitan already loves yawning, he loves tatha'ub, he already loves it, alright? And he hates salah, he loves yawning, and he hates salah, so how much more should we suppress our yawn in the salah? If he hates salah, and he loves yawning. You follow what we're saying, brothers? Okay.
Alright. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيَرُدَّهُ مَسْتَطَاعَ,
he should suppress it as much as he can. What does it mean by he should suppress it or withhold it as much as he can? Let me give an example on not fulfilling this part of this hadith. And unfortunately, the people who are listening to this tape, listening to my voice on this tape, they're not able to see what you're about to see because it's audio. Alright? Some people, when they yawn, they do this. Alright? They put their hands over their mouths and a fist. Like this. You see? When they yawn. They put their hands over their mouths and a fist. You ever notice that? Or they put the back of their hand like this or something like this. Right? What the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam meant when he says, فَلْيَرُدَّهُ مَسْتَطَاعَ, that he should suppress it as much as he can, meaning he should take the whole palm of his hand, inside of his hand,
alaykum salam,
and he should cover his mouth entirely. If he or she can't,
alaykum salam,
if he or she can't do that, then he should do it with his arm or something else.
If he, like for instance,
I have this tea in my hand right now that I'm drinking. Now, I have this book in my left hand, I have this tea in my right hand. How do I suppress as much as I can my yawn without putting it down? Because by the time I put it down, I might not be able to suppress it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this narration, he doesn't say suppress it with his hand. He doesn't say فَلْيَرُدَّهُ بِيَدِهِ مَسْتَطَاعَ. He doesn't say with restrain it or suppress it with his hand. He leaves it general. He just says suppress it as much as he can. So, if I have this tea in my hand, for instance, right? And I have this book in my left hand, this tea in my right hand, and I yawn, I do this. I put my mouth over my shoulder, on the inside of my arm.
Or I can put it up against this minbar, like this.
Or, no, this is serious. Or, I can just close my mouth. Just tighten up my lips and just close my mouth completely. You see?
What, however you do it, for instance, on many occasions, and my wife is always talking about this,
if I'm lying next to her, you know, on the couch or the bed, whatever,
and we're on the floor, whatever, I'm leaning, sitting next to her, and my
hands are occupied. When it comes to yawning, sometimes I'll place my mouth on her shoulder or on her back. I'll use her back to suppress my yawn. You see? So that my entire back, that her back completely covers my mouth. which is in executing and implementing what the Prophet ﷺ meant in this hadith, فَلْيَرُدَّهُ مَسْتَطَاعَ. Let him or her suppress it as much as they can. Or you can have somebody put their hand over your mouth. You have your wife, your daughter, whoever, put their hand over your mouth. However you do it, you should do this because the Messenger of Allah is ordering you from Allah to do this, and it keeps shaitan away from you.
In the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا
قَالَ, if the person makes that sound, ضَحِكَ مِنْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ, that shaitan laughs at the person.
Whoever makes that sound. Whoever makes that sound, shaitan laughs at him. And the reason why the shaitan laughs at him or her
is from his farah, or from his rida, is from his happiness and his extreme pleasure.
From his happiness and from his extreme pleasure,
because the person obeyed him.
Because the person obeyed him and followed him.
Because he obeyed him and he followed him.
And this is,
in a nutshell,
the meaning of this first hadith. The next hadith in this section, in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, is under the section,
مَا يَقُولُ عَتَسَ إِذَا عَتَسَ. مَا يَقُولُ إِذَا عَتَسَ. What should the person say when he sneezes? What should the person say when he sneezes? And this narration, the next narration that appears in the Sahih Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, brought by our Shaykh Al-Muhaddith Al-Faqih Al-Usuli Abu Abdul Rahman Hafizahullah,
is on the authority of Abu Huraira
radiallahu ta'ala anhu,
where he said,
عن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم
قال إذا عطس أحدكم فليقل الحمد لله فإذا قال الحمد لله فليقل له أخوه أو صاحبه يرحمك الله فإذا قال له يرحمك الله فليقل هو يهديك الله ويصلح بالك يهديك الله ويصلح بالك.
This is the next hadith that Al-Muhaddith Sheikh Al-Albani brings in his Sahih Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, but this is not the next hadith that Imam Al-Bukhari brings in his book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, of which he is the author of. And the reason why is because obviously the next hadith that Imam Al-Bukhari brings is not authentic. It's not authentic, and inshallah we'll be able to find it in the da'if. And that hadith that Imam Al-Bukhari brings is حدثنا موسى عن أبي عوانة عن عطاء عن سعيد بن جبير عن أبي عباس قال إذا عطس أحدكم فقال الحمد لله قال الملك رب العالمين فإذا قال رب العالمين قال الملك يرحمك الله. That when any of you yawns, this is on the authority of Abu Abbas, and we read the entire chain, he said, when any of one of you sneezes, excuse me, and says Alhamdulillah, then the angel says, Rabbil Alameen. فَإِذَا قَالَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and then if the person says رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, then the angel says, يَرْحَمَكَ اللَّهُ. And this narration, obviously, because Shaykh Al-Albani didn't bring it, in his humble estimation, from his knowledge of a hadith, he does not grade this hadith authentic, or he would have included it in the sahih version of this Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. As for the second hadith, it says, حَدَّثَنَا مُوسَى بُنُّ إِسْمَعِيلِ قَالْ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ بْنِ أَبِي سَلْمَةَ قَالْ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ دِينَارِ عَنْ أَبِي صَالِحِ السَّمَانِ عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then the hadith we just mentioned.
And this is the one that the Prophet ﷺ said, when any of you yawns, then he should say, Alhamdulillah. And when he, if he says that, then the person, his brother or his companion, فَلْيَقُلْ لَهُ أَخَاهُ أَوْ صَاحِبُهُ, meaning his brother should say, or the person who's with him should say, يَرْحَمَكَ اللَّهُ, may Allah have mercy on you. فَإِذَا قَالَ لَهُ, and if he says, يَرْحَمَكَ اللَّهُ فَلْيَقُلْ, then he should say, يَهْدِيكَ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ بَالَكَ, may Allah guide you and repair your condition. May Allah guide you and repair your condition. And there's only two hadiths in this section, under the section of what is said when the person sneezes. Okay, let's look at this hadith. This hadith that Imam al-Bukhari brings says, one of the sections of this hadith says, when the person sneezes, then the person should say Alhamdulillah, and if he says that, then his akh or his sahib, his akh or his sahib should say Yarhamakallah. What the Prophet meant by sahib, according to Fadlullah al-Jilani, the commentator of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is من يعينه على طاعة الله وحضور القلب معه. What it means by sahib means the one who is assisting him to obey Allah so that his heart will have the consciousness of or be aware of what's going on with him. In other words, the reason why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned your brother or your sahib. Sahib or companion here means the one who is accompanying you to obey Allah in this commandment of saying Alhamdulillah. This is what it means. As for Yarhamakallah, we know from the other hadith that the Prophet ﷺ used the pronoun in the plural. Yarhamakumullah wa yuslihu balakum. Balakum. Yarhamakumullah wa yuslihu balakum. May Allah have mercy on you, plural, and improve your condition, plural. In this narration from Adab al-Mufrad, the Prophet ﷺ told the person to say Yarhamakullah in the singular, wa yuslihu balaka in the singular. And this is something that the scholars of Islam, they call this al-iltifat. Al-iltifat, meaning turning your attention. Literally means to turn your head like this, back and forth. If I turn my head quickly like this, this is called al-iltifat. When you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the right in salah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left in salah, that's called al-iltifat. This is part of one of the disciplines in the science of Islam, of which the scholars say that this is one of the ways Allah or His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets you to pay attention. In other words, starting out, for instance, you'll see the du'a, like for instance the du'a when you go traveling. سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى. The dua starts out, O Allah, we ask you in this journey of ours for al-birr and taqwa and the things that you are pleased with. And it goes on. اللهم هون علينا سفرنا هذا واطوي لنا بعده. Allah, make the journey easy for us and fold up the road for us. Right? اللهم أنت الصاحب في السفر والخليفة في الأهل. Allah, you are the sahib in the journey and the khalifa for my family. Then the hadith says, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر.
Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you. From the wa'ath, wa'atha is safar, wa ka'abat al manzar, wa su' al munqalabi fil mali wal ahli wa walad. The hadith starts out in the plural, but it ends in the singular. This is called al-iltifat. It's just to draw your attention, to keep you. So in this particular hadith, the dua of traveling, it starts out in the plural and then it ends in the singular. And this is to call your attention. This is tanbih. This is to make you conscious of what's going on. First is we, and then it's me. First is we, and then it's me. And this, there's some other reasons behind it, but this is one of the reasons why the Prophet ﷺ started out, said Yarhamakallah instead of Yarhamakumullah. Instead of the plural, he made it in the singular. Yarhamakallah is du'a'un fir rahmah. It's a du'a for rahmah. It's possible that this also means bashara for the atif, glad tidings for the season. It's possible that the meaning of this also is not just a du'a for mercy for the person, for rahmah and compassion from Allah to the person, but it also conveys the meaning of bushra for the sneezing person because of his acquisition of the rahmah. How? His acquisition of the rahmah in the future. In other words, you're saying, oh Allah, give him mercy. At the same time when that person hears that, this is glad tidings for him that inshallah he will receive this mercy in the future. And this brings us to the point of a very beautiful story that that is found collected in the book called Fath al-Bari by Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani with a jayyid chain, with a good chain inshallah, and it's also extracted by Ibn Abd al-Barr. And that narration, we mentioned this to some of the brothers a couple of weeks ago, it says, Kana Abu Dawood sahib al-Sunan في سفينة فسمع عاطس على الشط حمدا فاكترى قاربا بدرهم حتى جاء إلى العاطس فشمته ثم رجع فسئل عن ذلك فقال لعله يكون مستجاب الدعوة فلما رقدوا سمعوا قائلا يقول يا أهل السفينة إن أبا داود اشترى الجنة من الله بدرهم. That once Abu Dawood, the great scholar of hadith, Abu Dawood, whom we all know, Abu Dawood in the Tirmidhi, in the Bukhari, Imam Ahmed, Imam Malik, he was in a boat, a large ship, and he heard a man sneeze. Hajju. And that man, when Abu Dawood, the great scholar of hadith, rahimahullah, was on the ship, that man was on the shore. He wasn't on the boat. He heard the man sneeze, and he was on the shore while Abu Dawood was on the boat. This goes back to what we were saying about how should the person sneeze. You get the picture? Can you see this? Can you get the scenario in your mind? Abu Dawood rahimahullah was on a ship and the man was on the shore and he heard the man sneeze and then praise Allah. That tells you something. فَاكْتَرَ قَارِبًا بِدِرْحَمًا. So Abu Dawood rahimahullah, the great scholar of hadith, and of course the scholars of hadith, brothers, are the real scholars of fiqh. They're the real scholars of fiqh. When you're a muhaddith, you're really a faqih at the same time. It's more likely that a scholar of hadith is going to become a scholar of fiqh than it would be a scholar of fiqh becoming a scholar of hadith. Why? It's because the fiqh comes from the Quran and the Sunnah. So this is a proof, scholastically, against the people who say that Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Albani doesn't know fiqh. Because he's a muhaddith. And it's more likely that the muhaddith is going to become a faqih. Because fiqh is a byproduct of hadith. It's a byproduct of Quran and hadith. Quran and sunnah comes from Allah. Fiqh comes from the people. Alright? So Abu Dawood is a muhaddith and a faqih. And you're going to see why.
So when Abu Dawood rahimahullah heard this man sneeze and say and praise Allah, فَاكْتَرَ قَارِبًا بِدِرْهَمٍ, he purchased for a coin, a dirham coin, a small junk. You know what a junk is? A junk is a small boat. It's a small boat, not a safina. A safina is a ship. Like you know when you're in the Navy, if any of your brothers were in the Navy, you know, they tell you never to call this thing you're on a boat. Right? They tell you to call it a what? A ship. Never call it a boat. Call it a ship. Soldier, never call this thing a boat. Right? So Abu Dawood was on a ship and he purchased a boat. He rented a boat. He rented a boat for a dirham so that he could reach the man who sneezed to respond to the man with the appropriate response. ثم رجع, then he returned back to what? Back to the ship. فسئل عن ذلك, so he was asked about that. So Abu Dawood رحمه الله عليه said, لعله يكون مستجاب الدعوة. مستجاب الدعوة, perhaps that person was one of the people whose dua is going to be accepted. Because there's certain times when Allah accepts your dua. You see? فَلَمَّا رَقَدُوا, so when the people boarded the ship about to sail off, سَمِعُوا, they heard a person saying, يَا أَهْلَ السَّفِينَةِ, all inhabitants or riders of the ship, إِنَّ أَبَا دَاوُودَ اشْتَرَى الْجَنَّةَ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِدِرْهَمٍ, surely Abu Dawood has purchased paradise from Allah for a coin. For a coin. Why? Because he had enough fiqh, he had enough fahm, he had enough understanding in obedience to Allah and His Messenger to get off the ship, go to the man to respond to him with the appropriate response. Because perhaps when the man sneezed and said Alhamdulillah, and he said Yarhamakallah, may Allah have mercy on you, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would answer the man's dua with may Allah have mercy on you, and Allah send Abu Dawood to Jannah. You see now? This is the importance of following the Sunnah. You see how far the people would go to follow the Sunnah? This is how far they would go to follow the Sunnah. Allahu Akbar. So, Imam al-Bukhari in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he brings this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, then the person, his akh or his sahib, then his akh or his sahib should say, Yarhamakallah. Yarhamakallah. Right? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the other person should say, who sneezed, يَهْدِيكَ اللَّهُ يَهْدِيكَ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ فَالَكَ يَهْدِيكَ اللَّهُ. In this particular statement, فَضْلُ اللَّهِ الْجِلَانِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, the one who did this explanation of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, says that there is another narration, as we mentioned, it says, يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ فَالَكُمْ. And this is only from the Al-Tifat, that Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes would say it in the singular and sometimes he would say it in the plural. He'd had us to say it in the singular and he would have us say it in the plural. As for the expression yuslih, he said this yuslih is said because this is a dua for rahmah for the person and it's a dua for khair. It's a dua for rahmah and al-khayr. And al-khayr. And also, he goes on, he says, يَهْدِيكَمُ اللَّهُ يُسْلِحُ بَالَكُمْ, in the plural, is the most well-known version. Most of the people don't know it in the singular, يَهْدِيكَ اللَّهُ وَيُسْلِحُ بَالَكَ. Most people know it by يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُسْلِحُ بَالَكُمْ in the plural. Similar to saying السلام عليكم or السلام عليك or السلام عليكم or وعليكم السلام. It's similar to this. As for the tashmid, responding to the atis, the response of the sneezer, yarhamakallahu, or as for the statement yarhamakallahu, speaking to a singular individual, masculine, or yarhamakillahu, speaking to a woman, and the reply yahdikumullahu wa yuslihu balakum, in the plural, masculine, we don't have any narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam putting it in the feminine singular. The only thing we have is the masculine singular and the masculine plural, yarhamakallahu, but not yarhamakillahu. So we learn from this that it might not be permissible to say to your wife or your daughter yarhamakillahu with the singular masculine, but rather you should say either to men, to one man, yarhamakallah wa yuslihu balaka, or yarhamakumullah in the plural wa yuslihu balakum, or to a woman, yarhamakumullah wa yuslihu balakum, and that's it. In other words, you can only say in the plural masculine to the women, and to the men you can say it in the singular masculine or the plural masculine. You follow what I'm saying? You can't say it because there's no narration in the singular feminine. That's the point. Because we don't have a narration. This is beautiful. Allahu Akbar. Then he goes on. He goes on to say that he goes on to say that this expression yarhamakumullah is we'll come to that inshallah. Let's go on. That's the end of that particular section on the hadith, on the on what the person says when he sneezes. As for the next section, this is the section of tashmeetul atis. Tashmeet al-aatis. Tashmeet al-aatis, which is the tashmeet of the sneezer. And the tashmeet, the only way I can translate this is response. The response, the reply to the sneezer. The first hadith that Imam al-Bukhari brings in this section according to Sheikh Al-Albani, from what I have here in front of me, is not authentic, and it seems as though the first hadith is not authentic, it seems as though. And the second hadith is the one that the Shaykh Al-Albani has brought, inshallah. And this hadith says, حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيِّ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَى بْنُ سَعِيدٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الْحَمِيدِ بْنِ جَعْفَرٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي أَبِي عَنْ حَكِيمِ بْنِ أَفْلَحِ عَنْ أَبِي مَسْعُودٍ عَنْ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And it looks like this may not be it either. It says أربع للمسلم على المسلم يعوده إذا مرض ويشهده إذا مات ويحب ويجبه إذا دعاه وَيُشَمِّتُهُ إِذَا عَتَسَ. There are four things that are incumbent of a Muslim on a Muslim. Four things that are incumbent of one Muslim to another Muslim. They are يَعُودُهُ إِذَا مَرِضَ.
that he visits him when he is sick. وَيَشْهَدُهُ إِذَا مَاتَ, and that he is present at his funeral, meaning when he dies. وَيُجِيبُهُ إِذَا ضَعَاهُ, and he answers him when he invites him. وَيُشَمِّتُهُ إِذَا عَطَسَ, and he responds when he sneezes. He responds when he sneezes. Okay. As for the statement, عَطَسَ, that he sneezes, when he sneezes, this is when he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah. This is when he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah. As for the statement, he visits him when he's sick, we're all familiar with the other hadith that says that the Muslim has their fixed right over the Muslim, is that when he becomes sick, he visits him. When he gives him the salam, he returns the salam. To the end of those narrations, and this hadith doesn't have a long explanation. Fadlullahi al-Jilani rahimahullah doesn't bring a long explanation, so we'll just go on with the next hadith. The next hadith in this section is on the authority of Al-Bara' ibn Azib. عن البراء ابن عازب رضي الله عنه. Who said, أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بسبع. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered us with seven things. Ordered us with seven things. ونهانا عن سبع. And he prohibited seven things. And he prohibited seven things. أمرنا بعيادة المريض. He ordered us with visiting the sick. واتباع الجنائز, and following the funeral the bier, the funeral procession. وتشميت العاطس, وتشميت العاطس, and responding to the عاطس, the sneezer. وإبرار المقسم, and I'm not absolutely sure what this means. We have to read the explanation, inshallah. ونصر المظلوم, ونصر المظلوم, and assisting the oppressed, giving aid and assistance to the oppressed, giving victory to the oppressed. Wa ifsha as-salam, and spreading assalamu alaykum. Wa ijabati ad-da'i, and responding to the one who invites. Wa nahana an khawatim al-dhahab, and he prohibited us from gold, rings of gold. وَعَنْ آنِيَةِ الْفِضَّةِ, and using vessels of silver. وَعَنْ الْمِيَاثِرِ, and I'm not sure what الْمِيَاثِرِ means. وَالْقَسِسِيَّةِ وَالْقَسِسِيَّةِ وَالْقَسِيَّةِ وَالْقَسِيَّةِ, and I'm not sure what الْقَسِيَّةِ is. وَالْإِسْتَبْرَقِ وَالْإِسْتَبْرَقِ, and I think الْإِسْتَبْرَقِ is some type of velvet. I'm not absolutely sure, but we'll see, inshallah. والديباج, and ديباج is also another type of material which I'm not absolutely sure of, some type of silk. والحرير, which is clear silk. I think ديباج is another type of silk. Brocade, yes, استبرق. We're going to see it, inshallah. Okay. In this particular hadith from Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the way that Fadlullah al-Jilani begins it, he begins it by the meaning of Tashmeetul Aatis. He says Tashmeetul Aatis huwa du'a'u bil khayri wal barakat. Wal barakah. It is the dua for good for goodness and blessing. And I just stop here because he doesn't mention what al-khayr is. He doesn't mention it. He just says, it's dua, al-du'a'u bil-khayri wal-barakah. The ulama have explained what is al-khayr. Al-khayr, in a nutshell, is anything that is going to give you success in this life, which eventually will cause you to have success in the next life. Because the real khair, the real good, or I should say the real success, is contingent upon success in this life. The real success in the next life is connected to the success in this life. If you don't have success in this life, or I should say, to measure the success in this life, this will be a determining factor if you're going to have the success or the khair in the next life. What we mean by that is, it's like Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam said, he said, there are two gardens, one in this life and one in the next life. No one will be able to taste the garden in the next life until they taste the garden in this life. So there's some requisites that gives you an idea if the person, and only Allah knows, outwardly, we look at the person, is going to go to Jannah. If the person has the sweetness of the dunya, the hasanat of the dunya, the khair of the dunya, inshallah, they will have the khair or the hasana in the next life. So while the person making tashmeet, responding to the person who sneezes, he is actually asking Allah to give that person al-khair. As for the barakah, of which Sheikh Fadlullah al-Jilani rahimahullah doesn't mention, al-barakah comes from the word al-birka. Al-barakah comes from the word al-birka. Al-birka, the ulama say, is majma'ul ma, shay'un wafi'un, wa fihi al-khayrat. Al-birka means a body of water that's real wide and has a lot of goodness in it. Al-birka in English is a pond, P-O-N-D, a pond, like a small lake, a pond. The word baraka, the scholars of Islam say that this word baraka is mushtaqun min al-birka. It's a word derived from baraka, birka, which means a pond. Why do the Arabs call baraka, from the word birka, a pond? Because the baraka is wide and expansive and it has goodness in it. It has no evil in it. It has nothing but good in it. That's why they call it baraka. When do you get baraka? You get baraka from that which Allah has... Let me slow down. Whenever Allah gives you something, the barakah only comes from that thing when you utilize that thing. The multiplicity or the large number of a thing or the newness of the thing or the novelty of a thing or the preciousness of a thing doesn't determine barakah. What do we mean by that? We mean by that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you 15 children. Allah jalla jalaluhu gives you the Quran. You've memorized the entire Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives you a physical strength. You go out and you fight in jihad. Getting thrown down. Pop, 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 pop. You just knocking kafirs out, killing them. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets you hit the Islamic lottery. Because all the other lotteries are haram, right? He lets you hit the Islamic lottery. Like, you know, your grandmother accepted Islam. Right before she died, she accepted Islam, and she was a multi-millionaire, and she had you in her will, and the day before that, if she would have died, you can't inherit from her, because a kafir cannot inherit from a Muslim, and a Muslim can't inherit from a kafir. So that's like an Islamic lottery for you. Right? So, Allah gives you these things. Right? Allah gives you these things. Those things don't have barakah in them. There's no barakah in those things. In those 15 children, in that ability to fight, being strong, courageous, in the having
ugabs of money.
There's no barakah in that.
Unless,
or in the Quran, memorizing the Quran, or having a lot of ilm, a lot of knowledge,
unless you utilize what Allah has given you. Unless you utilize what Allah has given you.
This is where the barakah comes from, and that's why Sulaym, radiallahu anha, the mother of Anas ibn Malik, and also Umair ibn Malik, his brother, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. That's why when she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua for Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma qtur malahu wa waladahu wa barik lahu fi ma a'taytahu."
O Allah, increase him in cash, in wealth, in property, in cattle, whatever. And O Allah, increase him in children.
And O Allah, bless him in what you give him. Whatever you give him, bless him in that. Why?
Because just having an abundance of children, an abundance of wealth, there's no barakah in it unless you're training your children on the correct aqidah. Unless you're giving them the correct adab and etiquette and manners in Islam. Unless you teach them to be respectful, upright people in the society, you're teaching them the Quran, you're teaching them the Sunnah, there's no barakah wallahi, thumma wallahi tallahi billahi, there's no barakah in it unless you're teaching your children correctly. If you became a multi-billionaire, a mega buck trillionaire tomorrow, and you don't spend fi sabilillah for the pleasure of Allah, where's the barakah? Where's the barakah? There's no barakah. Allah has made you memorize the Quran in its entirety, and Sahih al-Bukhari, and Muslim, and Abu Dawud, and you backbite. You lie. You gossip. You cheat. You steal. You don't keep your trust. You're between a woman's legs. You're smoking cigarettes. You get high. But you're half of the Quran. MashaAllah, man, the brother's blessed. He's not blessed. He's cursed. Wallahi, he's cursed. There's no barakah in it until you flip that script and teach Islam. There's no barakah whatsoever. So the person who is making the response to the sneezer, he or she is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them not just al-khair, but he's asking them to give them barakah. Give them barakah. The response, yarhamakallah. May Allah have mercy on you. And then, the person, as a response to them, yahdikumullah yusrihu balakum.
Now,
we're coming to that. Are we allowed to say this to the kafir? We're coming to that. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Insha'Allah. The next, and continuing this particular hadith, of which Fadlullah al-Jilani, he doesn't comment on the rest of the hadith. But Shaykh al-Albani, in the footnote, says that al-Miyathir, if this is correct, is wita'un mahshu يطلق على رحل البعير تحت الراكب وهو من مراكب العجم تعمل من حديد أو ديباج. That this is something that is left on the camel. Is something that is filled, some type of pouch that is filled on the camel, is left on the back of the camel under the person who's riding it. And وَهِيَ مِنْ مَرَاكِبِ الْعَجْمِ تُعْمَلُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ وَدِيبَاجٍ. It's made of something. It's some type of material like a pouch or a cushion or something that's under the person who's riding a camel. Some type of pillow or material, some type of material or pillow or something, some type of cushiony like thing that's put under the buttocks of the person who's riding on the camel. This is prohibited.
to have this when the person is riding on this particular animal. As for the al-qassiyya, he says this is an lubs al-qais al-qassi kama fi ba'd al-riwayat wa hiya bi fath al-qaf qala fi an-nihaya thiyabun min kitan makhlut bi harir yu'ta biha min misr نسبت إلى قرية على شاطئ البحر قريبا من تونس يقال لها القس.
This is the type of clothing that is mixed with silk. It's mixed with silk. And it's connected, the reason why they call it al-qasiyya is because it's connected to a village on the shore of the sea there, near a place called Tunis, and that's why they call it al-qas. It's some type of thawb, like some type of clothing that's mixed with. It's a kitani type of clothing mixed with silk. And dibaj is like this brocade of silk, and also harir. All these things are prohibited from the Prophet's mouth. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The next hadith is in the section كيف تشميت من سمع العطسة. How does the person, how is the تشميت, whoever hears the sneeze, how is it done? عن أبي جمرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت ابن عباس يقول إذا شمت. I heard Abdullah ibn Abbas saying when he was responding عافانا الله وإياكم من النار يرحمكم الله. Abdullah ibn Abbas was heard by Abu Jamra saying when he was responding to someone who sneezed, عافانا الله وإياكم من النار يرحمكم الله. May Allah pardon us, may Allah give us security and well-being, and you pardon us and security from the hellfire. Allah have mercy on you. And the chain of this hadith is authentic, as Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani says in his book Al-Fath, Fathul عافانا الله وإياكم من النار يرحمكم الله. الأخ نعم. بالنسبة للتثاؤب فهذا من الشيطان, لا بد لك أن ترد ما استطعت بيدك. ما ينبغي لك أن تتثاؤب بدون الكذب على فيك. فهمتني؟ الله يبارك فيك. Okay, in this particular hadith, under the section of كيف تشميت من سمع العطسة, العطسة, how does one respond to to the sneezer, and we're looking for it in this section. Yes. As for this particular hadith, Fadlullah al-Jilani, he doesn't comment. He does not comment on this section. Oh, excuse me, just a minute. No, he does not comment. So we are left to just accept this hadith, which is authentic, by Abdullah ibn Abbas, the way it comes, the way it appears, which is that it's permissible to say عافانا الله وإياكم من النار يرحمكم الله. فضل الله الجلاني, he makes this state, he doesn't make any comments on this, but alhamdulillah, our Shaykh al-Muhaddith Nasruddin al-Albani has a footnote
He says, هذه الزيادة لم أجد لها شاهدا في المرفوع. This particular increase that Abdullah ibn Abbas is making, I didn't find any corroborating evidences for it to attribute it to the Prophet in a marfu' hadith. In other words, this hadith is manquf from Abdullah ibn Abbas. It's not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's from his sahabi, who is turjaman al-Quran, Abdullah ibn Abbas. He says, Sheikh al-Albani, that is, فَلَعَلَّ بَنَ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَلْتَزِمُهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَلْتَزِمُهَا. That perhaps Ibn Abbas didn't tenaciously stick to this particular thing. وَيُقَالُ هَذَا أَيْضًا فِي زِيَادَةِ بْنِ عُمَرِ الْآتِيَةِ. He says, and also this might be said pertaining to the increase on the next hadith that follows this hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, where he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ فَكُمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ عَلَى ذِكْرِ. وَإِيَّاكُمْ meaning, and to you. In this, he says, would be, it's assumed from this, that this would be a ذِكْر. Right? فَإِنَّ الْأَحَادِيثَ الْمَرْفُوعَةَ إِنَّمَا فِيهَا. Because all of the marfu'a hadith, the ones that go back to the Prophet, only have in them yarhamakallah, not afanallahu wa iyyakum min an-nar yarhamakumullah. So that increase, may Allah protect us and you from the hellfire, is from the sahaba. Alright? So Shaykh al-Albani says that this yarhamakallah, as the hadith that comes after it, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yarhamakallah, he says, as the hadith that follows it and other hadith, Shaykh al-Albani says, فَالْتِزَامُ السُنَّةِ أَوْلَى. To stick to the sunnah is better. To stick to the sunnah is better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعلى. He knows that. Right? Okay. As for the hadith that follows, is on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, Kunna julusan inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'atasa rajulun fa'hamid Allah. Faqala lahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, Yarhamak Allah. Thumma atasa akharun falam yakul lahu shay'a. Faqala ya Rasulullah. رددت على الآخر ولم تقل لي شيئا. قال إنه حمد الله وسكت. We were sitting with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and a man sneezed and then praised Allah. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to that man that sneezed and praised Allah, يرحمك الله, may Allah have mercy on you. Then another man sneezed and the Prophet didn't say anything. Then the man said, O Messenger of Allah, you responded to the other one and you didn't say anything to me. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, for verily, he praised Allah. And then he was silent. For verily, he praised Allah and then he was silent. This hadith is also collected, extracted in Al-Mishkat Al-Masabih, that Shaykh al-Albani did the tahqiq on, or the revision of it. And Shaykh al-Albani makes a comment in his revision of Mishkat al-Masabih. He says, لَيْسَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْكُتُبِ السِّتَّةِ, that you do not find this hadith in any of the six books of hadith. This book is not found. I mean, this hadith is not found. In other words, this narration is not found in Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, An-Nasa'i, or Ahmad. This hadith. This particular hadith. Where do we find it? Huh? It's in Mishkat al-Masabih. The statement is in Mishkat al-Masabih, the hadith. And it's also in the hadith, the book that's in front of you. Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari.
Okay. As for the section, إِذَا لَمْ يَحْمِدَ اللَّهِ يَحْمَدِ اللَّهَ لَا يُشَمَّتْ. As for the section of the one who didn't praise Allah, he doesn't get the response. This is on the authority of Anas رضي الله عنه, who said, عَقَسَ رَجُلَانِ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَشَمَّتَ أَحَدُهُمَا وَلَمْ يُشَمِّتِ الْآخَرُ فَقَالْ شَمَّتَ هَذَا وَلَمْ تُشَمِّتْنِي قَالْ إِنَّ هَذَا حَمِدَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ تَحْمِدْهُ. Two men sneezed while the Prophet ﷺ was present. One of them responded with the tashmeet and the other one didn't make the tashmeet. Then he said, he responded to this one, you responded to this one and you didn't respond to me. The Prophet ﷺ said, surely this one, hadha hamidallah, he said alhamdulillah. As for you, you didn't praise Allah. This hadith in this section on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu tells us a number of things. One of them as Afadlullah al-Jilani mentions in this particular section, la yushammat. On the section from the title of this section, the one who didn't praise Allah should not be responded to. La yushammat. He says, وَزَادَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَافِظ, that Al-Hafiz ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani rahimahullah says, الْكَافِرُ لَا يُشَمَّتْ بِدُعَاءِ الرَّحْمَةِ بَلْ بِدُعَاءِ الْهِدَايَةِ وَإِصْلَاحِ الْحَالِ. That the kafir should not be responded to with يَرْحَمَكَ اللَّهِ. You shouldn't say to the kafir when he sneezes, يَرْحَمَكَ اللَّهِ. But rather what you should say from the authentic hadith of the Prophet is يَهْدِيكُمَ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ بَالَكُمْ. May Allah guide you and improve your condition by making you Muslim. That's what it means. May Allah guide you and improve your condition, meaning after He guides you, may He make your situation good and wholesome because you just got the hidayah. So you don't make dua for rahmah, you make dua for hidayah. And this is a proof, or I should say, that this, in addition to the above hadith, shows that when a Muslim doesn't praise Allah, you don't respond to him. And when a kafir who doesn't praise Allah anyway, you don't respond to him with the same thing that you don't respond to the Muslim with because he didn't praise Allah. You catch what we're saying, brother? Or do you catch what we're saying, brother? Let me say it again. The Muslim who, according to this hadith, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, the Muslim who doesn't, and I believe this hadith is by Anas, let me say, yes, Anas. The Muslim who sneezes and doesn't praise Allah, you don't make tashmeet on him. And the kafir who's not going to praise Allah anyway, you don't make tashmeet for rahmah for him either. So that shows you something. The Muslim who doesn't obey Allah, by following Rasulullah's statement, his order, praise Allah, the person has to praise Allah, because in the other narrations that we mentioned, the Prophet says, فَلْيَقُلْ. That L, فَلْيَقُلْ, is called lam al-amr. It's a lamb of commandment. This is obligatory on you to praise Allah. For the Muslim who doesn't praise Allah, they are devoid of the same dua for rahmah that the kafir is devoid of. See the gravity of this? And as opposed to the Muslim who doesn't praise Allah and doesn't get the tashmeet of rahmah, the kafir doesn't get rahmah, but still gets the dua for hidayah. Where the Muslim doesn't get anything because of their disobedience.
Are you with me, brothers? All right. That's number one. Number two,